श्रीभागवतम 1817 ब्रह्मतेजो विनिर्मुक्तैः आत्मजैः सह कृष्णया प्रायानाभिमुखं कृष्णम् इदमाह प्रथा सति ब्रह्मतेजो विनिर्मुक्तैः. द इन्सिडेंट दैट इज डिस्क्राइब्ड जस्ट बिफोर दिस पास्ट फॉर दिस वर्स इज द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ how Krishna saved Uttara from Brahma Teja, the Brahmashira Astra that had been discharged by Ashwatthama. So Vinirmuktair, having saved her from that, Brahma Teja Vinirmuktair, Atmajai Saha Krishnaya, Atmajai, along with her sons, Atmaja. The word Atma can mean soul, the word Atma also means body. So Atmaja means those who are born from one's body. Atmajai Saha Krishnaya. So here Krishnaya refers to Draupadi. So this is referring to Kunti. She came with her sons, the Pandavas, and Draupadi. Prayana Abhimukham Krishnam. Prayana. So Prayana is departure. As Krishna was about to depart, Abhimukham, she moved towards him, Krishnam, idamaha pratha sati. So pratha, that is the daughter of, pratha is another name for Kunti sati. She was a chaste woman, she moved towards Krishna. So, this when Krishna, normally when a person is about to depart, at that time everybody comes, especially when a person is a very respectable or elderly person, then everybody comes to see them off. Then when everybody comes to see them off, at that time, usually as a part of the etiquette, the eldest who is there in the family, the eldest often offers farewell first, and the others may also offer farewell. So now here, the Pandavas were departing, there is no male elder. Pritha did not have a husband, she was a dowager, a widow, and Dhritarashtra had been inimical to the Pandavas. Dhritarashtra was still angry with Krishna, so Dhritarashtra did not come to see the Krishna off here. And so Pritha, so is described that although she was a woman, she was the eldest, and she was in one sense the leader in the home affairs. So her sons and her son, daughter-in-law, she came following, they all came following her, and she, idamaha, she spoke these words to Krishna. Kunti uvacha, this is 1818, namasye purusham tvadyam ishvaram prakateh param alaksham sarvabhutanam antar bahiravasthitam. This begins one of the most beautiful sections in the Bhagavatam, wherein the moving prayers of Kunti Maharani are offered, and these prayers are among the most classic prayers in the Bhagavatam. So, and this is the first major prayer in the Bhagavatam, of course. And there was just two brief sets of prayers, one from Arjuna and one from Uttara. Actually, there are just 2-3 verses. This is long. This will go from 18th to 42nd verse. That is, it's 26 verses. And Kunti begins by talking about the paradox of the vision of the invisible. That God, one of the main reasons why people say that they don't believe in him is that they say he's invisible. We can't see him. How can we believe what he can't see? And it's interesting that Kunti Maharani takes that point and she turns that around. She says that we see you, yet we don't see you. Namasye Purusham Tvadyam. I offer my obeisances to you, O Lord. You are the primeval person. Tvadyam. Purusha, you are the person who is the original person. Ishvaram prakateh param. You are transcendental to prakriti. You are not within material nature. Even when you appear to be in material nature, you are beyond material nature. Now, Krishna's incarnation is not an incarceration. That means when Krishna is in this world, at that time, he is not imprisoned in this material world, in the material body as we are imprisoned. Krishna is free, Krishna is transcendental. And so can we be transcendental when we become devoted to him. Otherwise, our incarnation is an incarceration. When we are in this material world, in the material body, we are actually trapped by our material body. That is not the case for Krishna. So, Ishwaram Prakatehe Param, you are transcendental to material nature. Alaksham Sarvabhutanam. Alaksham. Alaksham means you are not seen actually. Sarvabhutanam, you are invisible to all living beings. Antarbahiravasthitam. Although you are actually situated inside the hearts of all living beings, still you are inside them, you are outside them, but still you are not visible to people. So what does this actually mean? This simply means that Kunti is acknowledging that there is more to Krishna than what meets the eye. Normally if a person appears one way and then some of the person appears to be very rough and tough kind of person, and then we find that person has very sensitive, caring emotions, then you may say, oh, there is more to this person than meets the eye. So there is, for Krishna, in Krishna's case, there is infinitely more than what meets the eye. So that, in the routine course of affairs, people may forget, because Krishna can appear as if he is just another person moving around in the world as are other people. But when the time and circumstances call for it, Krishna manifests extraordinary power. And one example of how he manifests extraordinary power is being displayed here, when it is stated that, was displayed just a few minutes ago, when he explained how actually it was not Krishna, it was the all, it is omnipotent Krishna. Okay, it is Krishna who manifested his omnipotence by suddenly giving them from in front of him. Krishna suddenly manifested inside the womb of Uttara, and there he served Parikshit. So he in his true glory, in his omnipotence, is not understood by people. So now she is addressing Krishna, and she is also talking about Krishna as the absolute truth. And she says, God is present inside and outside of everything, and yet God is not known to most people. And that is the paradox of material existence, where people don't know God because they think that they think of him as just another person, and they can't understand how a person can be inside and outside of everything. But firstly, Krishna is not another person. Krishna is God, and as God, he is the supreme being. So now, Alaksham Sarvabhutanam, he cannot be seen. Now, why can he not be seen? That will be mentioned in the next text. 1819, Maya Javanika Channam Agyadhokshajam Avayam Nalakshase Moodha Drusha Nato Natyadharo Yatha Maya Javanika Channam. That Maya, illusory energy, Javani Kachanam, is covered by Agya Adhokshaja Mauvayam. People who are ignorant, Adhokshaja, that Lord who defeats sense perception. Avayam. So here, this alliteration where there are three words starting with the same letter, same sound, A. So Agya, Adhokshaja, and Avaya. The Bhagavatam is often poetic, and these sort of poetic ornaments, especially for discerning readers, they add to the sweetness of the message and the artistry and the sweetness of the message. And even for those who do not discern such things, still the poetic nature of this is appealing even to them. Malakshase Moodhadrusha. Malakshase Moodhadrusha. That means the foolish observer, Moodhadrusha. The drusha is one who is seer. Moodha is the foolish one. Nalakshase moodha drusha means they can, the foolish observer cannot see. Nato natya dharo yatha. Nato natya dharo yatha. Just as if an actor is playing a particular role in a play, then the actor, when they is playing the role of a player, that that person cannot be recognized, especially that person is playing, entered into that role, is not only wearing the costume but also is taking on the persona of that person, then it becomes very difficult to recognize who that person is. And in this way, they cannot understand. So here the Bhagavatam is underscoring this point for us, that there is a curtain of ignorance which prevents people from perceiving Krishna. So now, curtain of illusion. It's interesting. Now, is that a curtain over Krishna or is that curtain over us? Actually, Maya is Krishna's energy. And being Krishna's energy, Maya is actually something that cannot cover him. Unless, of course, he wants it, wants to be covered, which happens especially when we consider Yoga Maya. So, for the case of Yoga Maya, in the case of Yoga Maya, we see that it is not easy for a person to recognize that we as souls are essentially pure. And especially for those who are in Mahamaya, not Yoga Maya, they don't understand that we are souls, they don't understand that we are at core pure. So, impure desires come in and people indulge in those impure desires, and that's how they get entangled and trapped in material existence. But if they can recognize that because of this covering of Maya, they cannot perceive Krishna. Now, Krishna also talks about this, Tribhir Guna Maya Bhavai, Ebhi Sarvamidam Jagat Mohitam Na Abhijanati. Mohitam Na Abhijanati. Being deluded, people cannot know me, he says. But still, it does not mean that he can't be known at all. It just means that knowing him requires more effort than what we would normally be ready to put in. And that more effort comes not just in terms of struggling to see. It's like a blind person cannot see just by struggling and straining to see. There has to be a surgical process that is required. And that surgical process is, of course, the process of bhakti. So, Maya Javani Ka Channam Agnyadhoksha Jamovayam. That process of bhakti will be mentioned in the next verse. That which will remove this. And Natonatya Dharoyatha. So, in one sense, the future verses are expansions of this. This theme of Natonatya Dharoyatha will be mentioned further when he talks about, when Kunti Maharaj talks about how Krishna's pastimes are bewildering. But in the next verse, he talks about, okay, if there is a covering of ignorance because of which you can't see, then what is the solution? How can that covering of ignorance be removed? And that is mentioned, that that can be removed by the practice of bhakti. That is mentioned in the next verse. So we have 1820. Tha paramhamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyem hi striyah. Tha paramhamsanam. So, Paramhamsas are those who are transcendentalists. Those are not just transcendentalists, Paramhamsa. A Hamsa, a swan, is said to have the power of separating milk from water. And it is said over here that Tha Paramhamsana Muninam Amalatmanam. So, for those, Paramhamsas are those who are able to experience the best of happiness. For those who are able to get out the best of all things by pursuing the essence, that is Krishna, they can actually, they are called as Paramhamsas. They see the material existence and then they move onwards towards trying to get the best out of material existence. That is the Lord who is hidden within material existence. So this verse, this theme of Hamsas, be able to take out that which is the essence, that gels nicely with the previous verse, where Maya Javani Ka Channam. So, if there is a curtain, now beyond the curtain, someone is there, or some treasure is there. Something that is meant to be hidden is there, and that means to be taken out. But the way to take it out is, there is a process, and that process Krishna comes to teach. So Paramahamsas are the people who know this process or who want to learn this process. They are themselves diligent in trying to look at for the essence of material existence, and for such people, Muninam Amalatmanam, Amalatmanam. So mala is dirt. So now, dirt is something which we consider as valueless. So when we say something is dirty, then we normally dirt is pushed away. So amalatmana means when there is no dirt in the amalatmanam. So amalatmanam refers primarily to that which is those people who do not have any dirt in their heart. So dirt in the heart makes us value dirt outside. Normally speaking, when something is dirty, we wipe it away. But when there is dirt in the heart, it makes us think of dirt as valuable. So low desires, filthy desires, we start thinking of them as valuable, and thus we trap ourselves. So those who are amalatmanam, what do we do? Those who are amalatmanam, for such people Krishna comes to teach. Bhakti yoga vidhanartham. So to remove the darkness that is pervading existence, that darkness especially about you, darkness in terms of ignorance about you, the inability to see you, that pervade, that characterizes all people, that was mentioned in Sarvabhutana in the 18th text. To remove that, you come bhakti yoga vidhanartham. So katham pashyem hi striyah. So how I as a woman can know you, O Lord? So now she is from a philosophical level bringing the prayer to a personal level. He starts first with the philosophical theme of how actually you cannot be seen, and how it's not that you deliberately want to stay hidden. To make yourself understandable, you also manifest in this world, and you descend to this world and give the knowledge by which people can see you. But then, now it's interesting that normally bhakti is considered to be an inclusive form of spirituality, where bhakti is available for everyone. And Krishna also talks about this theme in 9.33 in the Bhagavad Gita, when he says, Mami partha vyapashitya yepisyu papayo naya striyo vaishyastha shudras pepiyanti paramgatim. He says that even those who are normally considered not qualified for, at least according to conventional Vedic culture, those who are not considered qualified for spiritual growth, they all become qualified. They are all still qualified for bhakti, and by practicing bhakti they can attain the highest destination. So when this is understood, then why is it stated that, why is this verse Kunti actually putting the other side? If women are actually qualified to practice bhakti, or rather bhakti is so accommodating as to include women also, actually we could say at one level that no one is qualified to practice bhakti. It is only Krishna's mercy that gives us the qualification, whether it be for women or whether it be for those considered conventionally qualified, such as Brahmins or whatever. But the point is that whatever it is Krishna who is the Lord and source of everything, and it is Krishna who enables us to achieve anything by His mercy. So especially in the process of bhakti, here the point that is being made is that the process of bhakti can enable anyone and everyone to move closer to Krishna and to attain Krishna, and thus go onwards in one's journey. So here the point is that Kunti Maharani is speaking out of humility over here. Kunti is saying that actually no, you cannot. Oh Lord, this is the highest knowledge, knowledge of how to see you, and this knowledge is meant for the most qualified people. So how can I understand it? How can I see you? Now Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that in his lectures also on this topic, Prabhupada says that she is able to see him already. So Krishna is there, and she is able to see Krishna not just as she is able to see Krishna in his two-fold bending, in his three-fold bending form, two-handed form, but she is able to appreciate Krishna, not just see Krishna, but appreciate Krishna as the Supreme Person. And that appreciation for Krishna is extraordinary. That appreciation for Krishna indicates that she is she is actually fortunate. She is actually very, very exalted. And it is one of the characteristics of the exalted that they are humble. And now here we move onwards and we look further. So now, as I said, that now the prayers are moving from the philosophical to the personal, and now she starts talking at the personal theme from the 21st verse. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. She says, Vishwanatha Chakravarti actually gives a very beautiful explanation of this verse, wherein he explains that here the absolute truth is being pointed to in more and more clarity and specificity with each of these addresses. Krishnaya. The word Krishna, Prabhupada explained to us that it refers to one who is all attractive. Krishna can also refer to a complexion, but one who is dark complexion. So now there may be many dark complexion people. Krishnaya. But among them, she is referring to one particular person. Vasudevaya. The son of Vasudeva. Oh, but Vasudeva had many sons. Which son are you referring to? Devaki Nandanaya cha. She is not referring to Rohini Nandan Balram. She is referring to Devaki Nandan Krishna. Now, Devaki also actually had many children. So what is special about this particular child? Oh, he was a child who was actually was born to one set of parents, but he lived with another set of parents. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. That he is the person who has lived in amidst the who lived among the Gopas headed by Nanda. So Krishna had his extraordinary childhood where he was partially with the Pandavas and partially with the the Yadus and partially with the Prajavasis. And Govindaya Namo Namaha. What is further characteristics? Govinda. He is the Lord who is the cat, who gives pleasure to the cows, he gives pleasure to the senses. Govindaya Namo Namaha. And to that Lord, I offer my obeisances. So that Lord who is the previous verse said that you have descended to teach everyone how to practice Bhakti Yoga. And on this verse she says how she is able to see him, that she is able to not just understand him as the friend of her son Arjuna or as their well-wisher. It's interesting, she is not referring to him. Her understanding of Krishna is revealed by her referring to him first from the philosophical perspective as the absolute truth, Ishwaram Prakrite Param. And now she is also referring to him from his antecedents during his appearance herein, where he appeared in this world and she is telling his extraordinary birth and his extraordinary, we could say, evolution. God doesn't evolve in the sense of the we do, but in his manifested pastimes he may perform leelas, and he is this person who is described here by five describers, and under that Lord I offer my obeisances. Text 22. Now she continues with the theme of offering obeisances. Namaha Pankajanabhaya, Namaha Pankajamaline, Namaha Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. So Namaha Pankajanabhaya, I offer obeisances to you, O Lord, who are Pankajanabhi. You are the Lord who has a lotus shaped navel. Now this can also refer to multiple things. It can also refer to Kunti Maharani's understanding, recognition that Krishna is not an ordinary person. Krishna is God, and Krishna, one of Krishna's manifestations is Vishnu. From that Vishnu's navel, the primeval lotus emerges, and from that lotus, from that lotus Brahma is born, and then the whole universe appears. He's telling, oh Lord, your navel is very special. Normally, now when say a woman is addressing a man, if we consider conservative culture that was there at that time, for a woman to refer to a man's navel, it would seem like quite a intimate thing to do. But Krishna's navel is not ordinary, and Kunti's relationship with Krishna is more or less maternal. And Krishna, she is referring to Krishna that your navel is, her navel is lotus-like. So she is she's pointing out the transcendence of Krishna's navel, that it's not ordinary. It is the source of the primeval lotus from which the universe came about. And she's using this as a symmetrical structure, this particular prayer, wherein Namah, Namah, Namas, that Namah, the two syllables more or less come in the first line, and then there is Pankaj, 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 Pankaj in the next line, and after that there are other things there. Now, so there are other parts of the body that are referred to in the next line. So it moves, Prabhupada explained that it moves from the, because she is elder to Krishna, for her to refer to Krishna's feet would have embarrassed Krishna. She doesn't refer to Krishna's feet, instead she refers to, she first refers to his navel, and from his navel she moves onward. Pankaja Nabhaya Namaha Pankaja Maline, Namaha Pankaja Maline. The mala, this thing that you are wearing is actually Pankaja, the garland which you are wearing is made of lotus, and it is also very beautiful. Namaha Pankaja Netraya Netraya, your eyes are also like a, your eyes are very beautiful like a lotus. Namaste Pankajangraye, Pankajangraye. That your lotus, your feet are also like lotus. So now by comparing Krishna to a lotus, there are three things which are conveyed. First is, of course, the beauty. A lotus flower is beautiful, and Krishna's beauty is being conveyed. And as mentioned, that the move from the philosophical to the personal also moves things from the universal to the specific. That Krishna is not some amorphous conception of God about which no one knows who he is or what he is. Krishna is a very, very clear and specific conception, and that clear and specific conception is what is manifested here. Now, here we can move forwards, and we can look at how that she is at explaining Krishna's beauty. So his beauty is transcendence. The transcendence is the point that says lotus stays in dirt but is not affected by a bird. Lotus remains beautiful and transcendental. Similarly, Krishna remains in this world, but Krishna is not affected by this world. Pankaja Netraya, Pankaja, Pankaja. Although Krishna appears in this world, he is not affected by the things of this world. He remains transcendental. And that point is conveyed. Namaste Pankajangraye. Pankajangraye, your feet are also like lotus. So in this way, Kunti Maharani gives a very intimate and personable description of the all attractiveness of Krishna. So till now in the verses, and it began with a description of Krishna's transcendence and his invisibility. That was 18th text. The reason for his invisibility was described as illusion, which makes him appear. He is visible but not comprehensible. He's visible but not recognizable. And how that was mentioned in 19th text. 20th text describes that Krishna makes himself recognizable by teaching bhakti. And although Kunti Maharani considers himself less intelligent, as a woman, she says that that the next verses reveal how she has recognized him. So, 21st verse tells about how she has understood him as the absolute truth descended to this world, and she tells his the various attributes of his manifest pastimes. And in this verse, she stresses his transcendence. We'll continue in our next class. Thank you.